that I will receive what your word has to say to me this very day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen? This is a perfect opening to take you to Romans. We were in Romans chapter 5 on Sunday, and we had a nice little trip. But we closed it off with Romans 5:21. And I want to kind of pick that one up. Romans 5:21 in the Passion Translation. It says, "And just as sin reigned through death, so also this sin-conquering grace will reign as king through righteousness, imparting eternal life through Jesus our Lord and Messiah." So Joe, there you are. Sin-conquering grace is going to be applied not just to the ones that you know in your heart, but the ones that you'll be meeting down the road. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 6. So what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? What a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all. As a dead man passes away from this life, so how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have we forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? There's your baptism. When you go under that water, all the way under, you are dying with him. You get to be connected to his resurrection when you come out of the water. Am I making sense? All right. Sharing in his death by our baptism, pretty clear, means that we were co-buried with him so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of a new life. Now, I can truthfully say that my first baptism was one when I was a boy, baby. And when I chose to be baptized, it was a whole different experience. Because I was conscious of the decision. Just like Jesus, when he went to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, come on, I need to be baptized by you. But Jesus says, this has got to happen. Why? Because he was the example. That's why he said to the people, follow me. Okay? So, again, verse 4. Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried with him so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of a new life. For since we are permanently grafted into him, that's the body of Christ, that's the body of the Anointed One, to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. So, those who have been in a ritualistic religious background, just like I was, there is an awareness and a fear tactic that operates. And that's where you lived until the Holy Spirit came in and decided to change you a little bit. And this word is done in such a way that I pray you catch it, that it's going deeper, okay? So, God's grace is so much more than we've been taught. It's not just a word, like you said. Love is not just a word. It's an action. It's a reaction to how you're going to help those on your journey. Because your journey is not just for you. It's for those that you connect with. Okay? So, verse 6. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the strongholds of sin within us. Ah, isn't that a juicy piece of info? Again, we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the strongholds of sin within us, and so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Now, I want to put a pause there. Yesterday, I was preparing for an installer who's going to put in a new floor in my bathroom downstairs. And he's supposed to come tomorrow morning. So obviously, yesterday was the day where you remove whatever I could and to remove the tile floor and so on and so forth. And I had to put in two new shutoffs under the sink because they were dripping. So I had one spare, so I put that on. And the one on the left, the hot water one, was just a slow, I said, oh Lord. So I said to my wife, well, I guess I'm going to have to go back to Home Depot and pick up one more because I can't leave that just the way it is. Okay? So I went to Home Depot, picked up another one, came home with the right item, and shut off the water in the house and prayed and asked God for grace and his angels to help me to not crack any pipes. Got it? So I did that, put the new shutoff on, turned it off, asked Irene to watch, put the water back on. She says, oh, we're good. So I said, okay, thank you, Jesus. So after I got all done, we had a little snack. It was lunch. And I went downstairs because my body was starting to get a little bit tired. So I figured I'd take a break, right? So I'm going to check my emails. So I'm at my office area. I'm checking my emails. And I hear there's a crack in the pipe and it's leaking in the garage. I said, wait a minute. The angels were here to help me. There is no way that there's a crack in the garage. There's no way that it's dripping in there. Oh, yes, there is. It's dripping in between the pipes, going down into the kitchen. That's where the pipe goes. And I mean, all the details of that liar started. And I went to get up to reaction. And I said, no. No, I will not get up. This is a lying spirit. I am not listening to this garbage. I put you back where you belong. I am not accepting your lie. I'm not buying your lie. Okay? Because it was in there. A few minutes later, I read one more and I get another thought. Well, it's dripping, but it's dripping on the stuff that's in the garage and you can't see the water yet. Now I'm angry. I am really angry. So I start praying in the spirit because now my emotions are involved, okay? Because I'm PO'd. I said, Lord, can you imagine the twisting that he's up to trying to get me to get up to go and walk in the garage? That's what he's looking for, and I'm not going. So I prayed in the spirit. The thought went away. I pulled this down room, you know. I mean, I know 2 Corinthians 10:5, pull down every thought, make it obedient. So I did that. Well, guess what? I did a little more homework and I listened to a little bit of Johnny Enlow because it was live. Okay? I listened for about maybe 15, 20 minutes. And I find myself getting up to go into the garage. And I said, oh, no, you're not. And I said, you're activating my body. You're pushing me to do something I chose not to do. And I finally prayed in the spirit, and the Lord said, would you just verify now? Look, put the light on. It's okay. So I put the light on, and of course, there's no drip. Okay? But you can see five attempts to get me to move with a lying thought. Got it? Five attempts. Verse 7. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we will also share in the fullness of his life. What's the fullness of his life? Not to react to the devil's lies. Oh, you just sneezed. You must have a cold. Oh, you've got the virus. Are you catching on? Okay. 9. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death, and its power over him is finished. For by his sacrifice he died to sin's power once and for all. But he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. What are we living for? For the Father's pleasure. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourself as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal, while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. You see, what I'm sharing with you is the darkness doesn't let go on one try. He doesn't let go on five tries. He might have a few more days to try it again. And I said, Lord, how and why? He said, because he's more persistent than you are. He's tenacious and persistent. That requires me and you to be persistent and resistant and to put him out of business. And sometimes you might find yourself screaming because your emotions will get involved. Okay? Now the good news, verse 12. Sin is a dethroned monarch. Did you hear that? Sin is a dethroned monarch. So you must no longer give it an opportunity to rule over your life, controlling how you live and compelling you to obey its desires and cravings. So then refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. You live now for his pleasure, ready to be used for his noble purpose. Remember this, sin will not conquer you, for God already has. You are not governed by law here. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Joe, are you hearing? Remember this, sin will no longer conquer you. That's already to a degree been accomplished in many. For God already has. You are not governed by law, but governed by the reign of the grace of God. Grace frees us to serve God. What are we to do then? Should we sin to our heart's content, since there's no law to condemn us anymore? And we have some people that use that. What a terrible thought. Don't you realize that grace frees you to choose your own master? But choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you and reward you with death. Right now, the reward I'm watching in a person that I've known since he was a teenager. He's in a nursing home facility. 2 years ago, we began to see his mental capacities start to dwindle. His ability to function was impaired, and you could tell. And not just myself, but several other relatives watched this, because I've known this man for years. Well, a year ago, he had to be put in an institution because he could not be trusted to be home and alone anymore. About 5 months ago, I helped my cousin to bring him to the doctors. He's about my height, and usually when she goes and visit with him, she was married to his brother, so brother-in-law, sister-in-law relationship. Known each other for many, many years. He would shuffle like this to get into the car, and I had to help him put his legs in, et cetera, et cetera, because he couldn't do it. 5 months later, he's now shuffling like this. So they're having to use a wheelchair to take him from the kitchen area to his bedroom area. When I read this morning, I said, I've spoken to this person about the Lord. Didn't want anything to do. No communication on that level. Just respect who I've chosen to serve. That was not the words, but that was the choice. Okay? Don't you realize that grace frees you from to choose your own master? If someone in your life has made a choice to serve someone other than the Lord, that's up to them. God will respect them. Will you? Will I? We need to. Now, choose carefully, for you surrender yourself to become a servant, bound to the one you choose to obey. If you choose to love sin, it will become your master, and it will own you and reward you with death. But if you choose to love and obey God, he will lead you into perfect righteousness. He will lead you. Because you're not your own anymore. You belong to him. You and your relationship with the Lord have made you different. And yes, you may fail. Yes, you may fall. Yes, you may have a bad moment. Yes, you may go into sin. But again, you're not going to live there by choice. And you'll run back to the Lord. That's what we do. Okay? 17. And thanks be to God, for in the past you were servants of sin, but now your obedience is heart deep, and your life is being molded by truth through the teachings you are devoted to. That's a full explanation of where you're walking right now, Joe. Right now, that's you right there. You are dedicated. You are knocking on his door. I want more. I want to understand. I need wisdom. I need all these things. Yes, and totally is going to what? You think he's going to say no to you? But he's going to walk you through circumstances where you will experience what you need to experience in order to give out the unconditional love that you've been given. 18. And now you celebrate your freedom from your former master, sin. You've left its bondage, and now God's perfect righteousness holds power over you as his loving servant. I've used the familiar terms of a servant and a master to compensate for your weaknesses to understand. For just as you surrendered your bodies and souls to impurity and lawlessness, which only brought more lawlessness into your lives, so now surrender yourself as a servant of righteousness, which brings you deeper into a true holiness. For when you were bound as servants to sin, you lived your lives free from any obligation to righteousness. So tell me, what benefits ensued from doing those things that you're now ashamed of? It left you with nothing but a legacy of shame and death. But now, as God's loving servant, you live in joyous freedom from the power of sin. So consider the benefits you now enjoy. You are brought deeper into the experience of true holiness that ends with eternal life. For sin's meager wages is death, but God's lavish gift of life eternal, found in your union with our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. I write to you, dear brothers and sisters, who are familiar with the law, don't you know that when a person dies, it ends his obligation to the law? And I could go on. When you look at this area, you're going to see it's going right back to your baptism. You already died. You're different now. You're not what you were. You are a new creation. When you accepted him, he became your master and Lord. And so I want to just ask you to just close your eyes right now and put your right hand over your heart and say, Lord Jesus, I can see the choices that people make. Even some choices I've made. I'm choosing to receive that incredible grace and favor to give me understanding that I am part of the body of Christ. I am different than the world. Jesus was different than the world. So I'm different as well. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that it might bring some persecution. It might bring some hatred. It might bring some reprimands. Just like Jesus was rejected. Some may not receive me. They might reject me. But I'll trust your grace, Lord. And your favor. I am a new creation. And I will walk in obedience because I've chosen life. And I give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. You know,